Today is Resurrection Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. After Jesus was crucified, he was buried, but he didn't stay there in the grave. It's a wonderful, wonderful morning to see this place filled and to fill the fellowship hall and just to have that time together. We've got familiar faces and we have the joy of welcoming new people here today, and that's really kind of fun. There's a special kind of atmosphere on Easter morning, a sense of anticipation, relief, and joy today that really fills the world. The reality is this event is the biggest thing that has happened since creation. In that joy this morning, I want to consider a question, a simple question, but a deep one, one that carries a lot of weight and implication with it. I would ask, why are we here? Why are we here? The question has a lot of nuance. There's a lot of depth to it. And in fact, as you take it apart, it's one of those things where if you focus on each word, you would come up with a different answer. If you were to say, why are we here? Well, you're going to come up with a specific answer to that question. If you were to say, why are we here? Now we're talking about something different. Why are we here? That's another question entirely. And then why are we here? Using the same four words, we really have a lot of depth and a lot of nuance there. You might answer that question specifically dependent on your situation in a lot of different ways. Some of you might say this morning, if I were to say, hey, why are you here? You might say, well, this is what we do. It's Easter Sunday. We go to church. And so we're here in this building. We've tried to establish that in our house. In fact, if you have ever lived in our house temporarily, I have a rule, and that is that we go to church. If you live at my place, Sunday mornings, we go to church. Wednesday nights, we go to church. If you're staying there for any amount of time, that is really my only requirement. We, the house, we go to church. Some of the kids in the room, some of the younger people, and even some of the adults might say, hey, I'm here because that was kind of an expectation of my mama this morning when I got up, that I would be in church. And maybe you got a text message a couple weeks ago that said, hey, Easter Sunday's coming up. I'd really love it if you were there. Maybe you got a reminder call this morning. Hey, it's Easter. Are you up? I sent a text message last night and a text this morning. We're here. Some of the kids in the room would probably say, because my parents made me. I didn't have an option. But the question runs deeper than that. Why am I here? What is the point of all of this? Is there more to life than just what we're doing? Why am I here? Why are we here? And maybe if you're someone who finds yourself here just a couple of times a year, Christmas and Easter, we like to call those CEOs, Christmas and Easter's only. And I'm not trying to say that insultingly, just that we acknowledge that there are some folks that, hey, this is the priority. Maybe you wrestle with that question differently. Maybe you're here out of tradition or family expectation, or you feel like it's the right thing to do. Maybe you can't explain what prompted you to get here today. Regardless of the reason that you think there is, know this, that your presence here is valued. It is significant. And we are so glad you are here. Because the answer to all of these questions, the why are we here, the existential, the situational, the communal, and even the slightly hesitant, the answer to all of that isn't found in philosophy, it isn't found in self-help, it isn't found because you just wanted a reason to wear that dress, but it's the reality of an empty tomb and a risen Savior. What we celebrate today provides the ultimate life-defining answer of why are we here? The answer is Jesus. This morning we're going to go into that a little bit deeper. We're going to look at some of the nuance of that question. Why are we here? Why are we here today? Why do we gather on Easter? It's not just a date that we picked on a calendar. In fact, you can know today what Easter is next year and 10 years from now. You can Google all that. It's all readily available because it follows a certain set of rules that would get us to a place where they pick a date on a calendar. And last year it was a little bit earlier in the year, and the year before that it was a little bit later than that. And it kind of bounces around because it's tied to certain things. But the reality is we are here today because something extraordinary happened. The Gospel of Matthew tells us that it went like this. In Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 10, it says, "After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to view the tomb. There was a violent earthquake because an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and approached the tomb. He rolled back the stone and was sitting on it." What a picture that morning. You ever go somewhere and everything is just kind of not the way you expected it to be? His appearance was like lightning and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so shaken by fear of him that they became like dead men. The angel told the women, "Don't be afraid, because I know you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has risen from the dead and indeed is going ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. Listen, I have told you." So departing quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, they ran to tell the disciples the news. Just then Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." They came up, took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus told them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee and they will see me there." Peter and John saw for themselves, finding only the linen grave clothes lying there folded up neatly, an impossible event. And maybe that's why some of you are here today. There is something undeniably powerful about that story, the defeat of death, the ultimate hope that resonates deep within the human spirit. The reality is that calls to us across centuries, drawing us even when we don't fully understand it. Our presence here isn't just fulfilling an obligation or tradition. It's a response. Conscious or not, the sheer gravitational pull of this event, the most important event in history, the first reason we are here is to declare that it happened. God himself raised Jesus from the grave. And he is not dead. Acts chapter 10, verses 40 and 41 says, "God raised this man up on the third day and caused him to be seen, not by all people, but by us whom God appointed as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead." We are here this morning to make that same declaration that we have experienced, that we know. Jesus said when he was entering Jerusalem, and the Pharisees said, "Hey, quiet these people down." He said, "If I quiet them down, the rocks would cry out." We are here for a purpose to declare that Jesus was risen from the dead. But this event doesn't just explain this gathering. The reality is it reaches into the deepest parts of our souls and answers the cry, "Why am I here?" As if to say, does my life matter? Does this matter at all? Do we live just to suffer and die? We like to say that there are two things that are inevitable in life: death and taxes, right? And we just got past tax day, so everybody is feeling a little bit of relief from that, especially the Tillmans and Cheyenne. She gets a little bit of a break. We've gotten past that. It's a little bit of an inevitability. But do we live just to suffer and die? Is that all we are here for? Some of us to struggle our whole lives to find purpose? No. When Jesus walked out of the tomb, he declared victory over death itself. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55 says, "Where death is your victory, where death is your sting." Jesus declared victory, and so we have that victory to share with him. Because he won, we have hope. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the Lord, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Because Jesus lives, which is what we celebrate today, the whole purpose of our celebration is because Jesus lives. And because he lives, we have ultimate meaning. Some of the questions that draw us here today, what's the point? Is there more to this? Some of that is why we've gathered. Whether this is your first time or your 50th or your 500th time, the human heart was made by God to search for those answers. And the message of this Sunday, the message of Easter, the message of Resurrection Sunday is this. We make this claim loud and clear. The answer is Jesus, our risen Savior. And he's worthy of this time. Why are we here? His death and resurrection mean for us that we have purpose. His death and resurrection also means for us that forgiveness is freely offered. We had our Good Friday service the other day, and the focus of that devotional was the last three words that Jesus said on the cross, "It is finished." If you want to know how to write it in Greek, it's there on that wooden cross. If anybody might try to say it, it is tetelestai. It is there. It is finished. And in that, forgiveness is freely offered. When we receive that forgiveness, we receive a new identity. And that is a huge implication on our lives. You are here because the God who created you desires a relationship with you. And because he desires that relationship with you, he has made you new. And all of that is made possible because his son conquered the grave. And in that, your life has eternal value and purpose in him. We have meaning. We have hope. We have forgiveness, and it is freely offered. There isn't a coupon for forgiveness that you got to go in and check the date and scan and make sure that it all works. There is no cost to us. Jesus said, "It is finished." We have meaning and hope. We are made new. And in that, that's an incredible amount of implication. The reality is everything that we have ever drug along with us is now cut off. Everything that we've ever struggled with, we can have freedom from. Now, the Bible says, like a dog returns to its vomit, we keep turning back to our stupidity. And so we do that. We say, "Oh, I'm dead to that, but it tasted good." I wonder what that tastes now that it's been on the floor for a while. It didn't taste great coming back up, but smells like dinner. Why do we do that? I don't know. Why does your dog do that? I don't know. Because something about it draws us into it. But that doesn't mean that it's good. And it doesn't mean that you have to have it. In fact, we have freedom from that. And we're invited, and this is, I'm going totally off script here for a second. We're invited to a feast, and yet we return to vomit. It's a beautiful picture of Scripture. And that, there's a whole lot more that I would have to pull out here and get to. I'll explain some of it really quick. because some of us are lost. And that's okay. I'm a little bit lost myself if I don't clear this up. So we talk about the Christian life as being, and the end of Christian life as being our marriage to Christ. And in that, we celebrate a wedding feast at the end. And there's a celebration of it. And just to think that we might turn away from a feast that would be like many of your lunches are about to be, I've heard people talking about, well, we've made this and we've prepared that and we're ready for these things. And some of you are just ordering tacos or whatever else that you might do, but you've got plans for good things. And somehow, because of our fallen nature, because of the reality that, oh, that smells like dinner, we go back to the filth that we were freed from. There's a reason it came out of you. I'll get off that for a moment. We don't have to turn back to that. We have freedom from it because we were made new. When sin calls to us, our name is not attached anymore. That contract that we had, those agreements that we had with our sinful nature are voided by the reality that we are new. You didn't make an agreement with me. That guy's dead. I don't owe you anything. He's been dead. Though I may have turned back to you a couple of times, those agreements are voided. We have freedom because we have new life. You are here because the God who created you desires a relationship with you, and that's made possible because of his Son who conquered the grave. Your life has eternal value. We have meaning and hope. We have forgiveness and purpose. How does that change things now? Why am I here? How should we be living this life? Should it be just an endless strive to be a perfect person? Why should I try? Should I try at all? Why are we here? Why do we live this way? The reality is, for a believer, the answer is this: we live this way, dedicated to the glory of Jesus. Because the resurrection isn't just something to believe about the past. It's something to experience now as he gives us new life. Romans chapter 6 verse 4 says, therefore, that's one of my favorite words in Scripture because it has a lot of implications to it. And I have focused so much on the word therefore that they printed it in vinyl and stuck it on my wall in my office. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. We are new. And that new life isn't just trying harder, because if that's all there was to it, that sucks. The reality is, when I was living as a sinner, I was trying pretty hard. I was giving my best effort, and I'm sure you were too. Hey, I didn't really want to be a terrible person. I didn't want to live a life that dishonored anybody. Just fall into that. New life isn't just trying harder. It's transformation. It's the total and complete new birth of who we are. We are dead to our transgressions, dead to our trespasses, dead to our sin. We are made new to live in life, and life more abundantly. That's Jesus for us. We are made new. And we aren't left alone to do that on our own will. Again, Like I said, I was trying before, and I know many of us have put forth our best effort. We're raising little ones in our house, and that's one of the things that they like to respond with. Well, I did my best. We'll say, hey, did you wash the dishes? Well, yeah, I did my best. Now, wait a second. One of two things happened. Either dishes are washed or they are not. They are washed or they are not. For your information, anytime I cook or eat anything in my house, and anytime you come over, which you're welcome to at any point, you should check that dish and maybe wash it yourself. Just to make sure. Because we're raising humans. But they like to say, hey, I did my best. And my response to that is often, hey, sometimes our best is not good enough. And that's the reality of living life. Sometimes our best is not enough. And the reality is you can't live a sinless life on your own. In fact, you're probably, even with the power of Jesus, you're not going to live a perfect life in newness either. The Apostle Paul said this. He said, I do the things that I don't want to do, and I don't do the things that I want to do. That guy wrote most of the New Testament. He said, I don't understand it. I try, and I fail. There are things that I try not to do, and then I do them. I say I'm going on a diet, and then I walk by some Cheetos, and Oreos are filling my face. I don't even know where there were Oreos. We just fell into that. We aren't left to do it on our own. And the reality is, Jesus doesn't demand that we are suddenly perfect. In fact, he never requires perfection. We are here because the resurrection unleashes divine power for us. Romans 8:11 says, and if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life through his spirit who lives in you. There is a divine power, and that same power that brought Jesus out of the tomb is available to bring us out of our own. The reality is life without Jesus is a dead life. In fact, many of us have tried to find some sort of purpose, some sort of enjoyable existence in other things and found them to be lacking. We are here to connect with and to receive and to live by that power. Resurrected here and in eternity with new life. We are here. Because we have been made new. Because we have the ability to be here. Because we've been welcomed and loved by a very freeing and forgiving Lord. Why are we here? Why are we here together? Why do we do church like this? Why do we get to? Why did we have breakfast? Because breakfast is good. Short answer on that, because New Testament says that we can have sausage, and somehow we figured that if you take really dry flour and put it with water and then bake it and then add really wet flour on top of that with sausage, then you have biscuits and gravy, and those are phenomenal, and you should enjoy them more often. It's kind of a funny thing, though. It's dry flour, wet flour. I don't know. It's a lot of flour, but it's good. Why are we here? Why do we do this together? Why do we gather as a church in this group, in this room, with this family? We like to say here the church is the family that you choose because we have a relationship with one another. We develop and encourage and really require a relationship with one another that is interdependent. When you have problems, these people around you are the people that we call. When you have celebrations, these people around you are the people that are there celebrating you. And if they're not, we're going to have a conversation because that is the expectation. This is the family that we choose. We're going to celebrate weddings and birthdays and anniversaries. And there's a lot of weddings this summer. There's babies being born. There's stuff to celebrate. And we celebrate that together. And when you're hurting, we grieve with you. The Bible says that we rejoice with those who rejoice and we weep with those who weep. That is who we are. We have this community. We are gathered because the resurrection creates that community. The thing that ties us together, I'll tell you this, it's not personality. It is not that you guys are all just super fun to hang out with. It is not because we really just didn't have anything else to do, because the reality, hey, we got stuff. It's not your charming disposition. It's not your skills. The reality is Jesus gives us common ground. Jesus and the resurrection creates community. Why do we gather here? Because we love the Lord. And because we love the Lord, we love each other. And we love each other even when Dan says something really stupid. Even when, well, there's a lot of Dans. That was the trick, see? But one of them claimed it. One of them claimed it. Even when you go out of your way and mess something up for somebody else here, hey, we have Jesus. That is our middle ground. That is our commonality. That is our community. That's what pulls us together. And because of that, and because of his expectations, we don't get to hold stuff against each other. We don't get to break this up. We don't get to tear things apart. We have to, in fact, give our best efforts to live at peace with one another. As much as it depends on you, the Bible says, live at peace. We're gathered because the resurrection creates community. We are the people of the resurrection, and that's a weird thing to talk about. Why do you go to church? Well, I believe in Jesus. What do you believe about Jesus? Well, I believe a lot of things, but most importantly, I believe that he died on the cross. And on the third day, he rose from the dead. And in today's culture, that's kind of weird. But the reality is that means for me that I have the opportunity for eternity with him. That Jesus would declare that he holds the keys to Hades and to death means for me that he can lock me out. And that's pretty cool. I don't want to go in to Hades and death. I wasn't trying to get there. And if it's locked, I can't even get there accidentally. We are the people of the resurrection. That is who we are. And the community has purpose. We've already talked about a little bit the reality that this is supposed to be a family. We're supposed to come together and love one another and work together and create together and do together. We have a mission. We like to say here in our church that we exist to glorify God, to equip the saints, and to share the gospel. We are gathered not just for ourselves, but we gain great benefit. The reality is, if you get to know the people in this room, you will not go without. If you get to know the people in this room, things in your house won't stay broken. If you get to know the people in this room, your relationships will be mended. People will come alongside you to storm heaven on your behalf. We gather not just for ourselves individually, but to be reminded, encouraged, and to equip, and to do that for others. We're supposed to greet one another with songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to encourage each other. We worship. We sing these songs in the mornings on Sundays to encourage one another, to glorify God, sure. But to remind everyone else around us, who paid for it? Jesus paid for it. We're going to have that song stuck in our head all afternoon. Jesus paid it all. That's good. Maybe not that one. Maybe you had another melody that will stick with you. Acts chapter 4, verse 33 says, with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on all of them. And that is where we exist today. With great power, we go into the world with testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and in that we receive great grace. One of the biggest problems the world has with the church is that we're full of hypocrites. But the reality is they believe that we're hypocrites because we don't front load it by saying, Jesus had to pay a lot for me and I'm still screwing that up. I want to share that with you. We're not truly hypocrites. The reality is we're all just kind of messed up and broken. And you don't always see the messed up and broken part. What you see is the part that I'm presenting to you, which is that Jesus made me new, and that's real. It's also real that I go back to my own vomit sometimes because I am dumb. Together we have received the Great Commission to go into the world and to make disciples of all nations. And we should front load that with this. Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for my sins, not just the sins that you already know that I have done, but the sins that I will do tomorrow, the sins that I will commit this afternoon, the sins that I'll commit before we even leave this building, the things that I will do wrong that hurt your feelings or mine. Together we've received the Great Commission to go into the world and make disciples of all nations. We have purpose. Because of this, because he is risen, everything about Scripture, all of these instructions that come together, we have that purpose because of the resurrection of Jesus. Our collective why. The reason why are we here together is to embody and to share this resurrection life. Why are we here? Because Jesus died on the cross and they put him in a tomb, but he didn't stay there. Because on the third day he would rise. And because he rose from the dead, we know why we are here. We are here because we have victory. We are here because we have hope. We are here because we have forgiveness, because we have identity, because we have new life, because we have new power, because we have community, because we have purpose. We are here. You being here this morning is not accidental. It is not insignificant. It isn't just a random occurrence or coincidence. The reality is each one of us could have done anything this morning. In fact, there were parts of me knowing what I needed to do this morning that looked outside the front door and said, nope, it is so wet outside. And last night I parked my truck in the backyard, and we get this thing when it rains that we call Lake Johnson in the backyard, where the whole driveway is just a puddle because they've built up the alley so high that the water just sits in my yard and doesn't go away. It's a pretty cool thing. I love it. My wife was wearing some really pretty shoes, so I got to go out and move the truck and step in the 8 inches of water to do that. And that was my favorite thing this morning. We could have done anything today. Something brought you here. Call it what you will. Fate, destiny, a horse. Thank you. Good. That's a quote from Tangled. In case you didn't know, that's a Disney movie. It's a little Easter egg. That's another Easter egg. That's a joke. Fate, destiny, or a horse. Regardless, you are here. This isn't just a chance encounter. This is opportunity. God extends to us through being here this morning an invitation to look closer, to explore hope. Maybe you don't have any. Maybe you came this morning and you don't really understand anything about what I just said. That's okay. We have an invitation to look at it differently and freshly and newly, to understand new life and forgiveness more deeply. This is an invitation to see if the tomb is empty. And then to ask if that empty tomb means anything for you at all. The reality is Jesus had disciples who said, I'm not believing it until I get to put my hands into his wounds. My Jesus was stabbed in the side while he was on the cross. I won't believe that this is him until I get to see that wound. Jesus responds to that with great grace. Whatever got you here, my encouragement for those of us who have been in church our whole lives, for those of us who only come once in a while, we can't let this Sunday be just another Sunday service that we attend. We want this to be something special. We need to think about the reasons for being here. Why are you here? Consider the possibility of what we are all being called to. Embrace hope. Step towards new life. Make the truth of the resurrection the defining answer to the questions that we are all asking. Why are we here? I know some of us would say, hey, I'm just here because I needed to be this morning, because this is where my family was going, because they had breakfast, because whatever. But the reality is this. We are here because of Jesus. And in that, we have victory, hope, forgiveness, identity, life, power, community, and purpose. Because he is risen, we are people of the resurrection. Amen. We are here because he is risen. That's why we're here. This morning we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. We celebrate who Jesus is and everything that we are. That is the new definition of our lives. As we come into relationship with him, we are the people of the resurrection. We believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for our sins and then was raised from the dead, and in that conquered death and the grave. And because of that, we have a promise of eternity with him. As you read the Bible, if you have time to do that, or if you don't, make time to do that, you'll find that this is so much deeper than the things that we've talked about this morning. That the purpose that he gives is so much more significant than what we've talked about today. But in what we've discussed this morning, in what I've shared this morning with you, there is life. And I encourage you to step towards that. Let's pray. God, thank you for everything that you're doing in this church. Thank you for the people that you've gathered here this morning with purpose. God, thank you for the ability to speak into their lives. I hope that everything that we've said and done today is glorifying unto you. God, I ask that you would go with these people as we go about the rest of our week and the rest of this year before we gather for this event again next year. That you would help us to be the people that you've called us to be. That you would draw us close to you and to a relationship with you, those of us who lack it. God, draw us closer to you and in all ways. Give us purpose in our lives. Give us direction and wisdom where we need it. And we thank you for all of those things. God, we continue to lift up those people in our lives who are struggling and hurting. We pray for Steve's family specifically, and we ask for peace in their hearts. And we mourn with those who mourn this morning. God, but we know the promise of eternity. We know the promise of new life, that you said to the thief on the cross that he would be with you today in paradise. And we believe that. We believe that for those that we lose today too, who have new life in you. God, I thank you for everything that you're doing in us and through us, and I ask that you would continue that work, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you.